All right, so we are looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 17 today, and it's really verses 10 through 17 that I'm focused on. And the idea I'm specifically pondering, I mentioned this in the read-through, is this idea about denominations, and are denominations biblical? Now, I don't want to nerd out on this question just for weeks, because that really isn't the point of these devotionals that I'm doing. You know, honestly, a lot of times finding a great question to consider, to ponder, to scratch the surface on, and then to be forced to pray through, a lot of times that's the point. The point isn't the answer itself. So I think today really is an example of that. I'm not going to wrestle this to the ground today. but when we read this text, it's obvious, you could pause, go read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 17. But when you read this text, it's obvious that there are divisions popping up in the church. And various leaders are being followed. Paul cites that. He cites, Paul himself. He cites Apollos, Cephas, Jesus, Christ. So people are kind of getting into these groups and following their various leaders, and the leaders are kind of being idolized. And we know, just right off the top, we know that that's not the point of the faith. That's God should be on the high throne, right? And we know God should be the one that we're worshiping. So you can just read this, and without thinking real deeply, you can notice that there's an imbalance there. There's something that's wrong. But thinking a little more specifically, because you could take this and you could say, okay, well, if there's Paul, and Apollos and Cephas and Christ, and then he asks the question, is Christ divided? You could ask the question, well, what about Presbyterians and Baptists and Lutherans and Catholics? And there is a whole host of ways you could take this. And so when we talk about denominations, just really quickly, you could go Google Christian denominations and then click on images, and you'll get a whole bunch of graphs and charts that could show you just how many there are. And it's kind of crazy. And there are some really big splits along the way. But on a positive note, denominations, here's the beauty of denominations. When we start reading scripture and things start coming alive to us, there are things that we start clinging to, and there are things that we key off of, and we want unity. And we want to belong to a group that believes what we believe. And the nice thing about these denominations are that wherever you land on things like baptism and communion and the way Sunday worship is done, and there's a whole host of religious practices that pop up in scripture. Wherever you land, wherever I land, I can find a home. So that's a positive thing. In a sense, it helps bring unity in a sea of believers. So in that sense, I would say there's some positives. Now, obviously, there's some negatives as well. I think to me, the most negative thing about the whole division and denominational structure of the Christian faith is the way it looks to outsiders. Because we know what Jesus calls us to is to bring people into faith, to go tell the good news to others. And it certainly makes it difficult when outsiders looking in look at all the denominations and all the divisions, and it looks confusing. It looks like chaos. Heck, for us in the faith, half of us don't understand the denomination we're in, or the denomination, everybody else's, what they believe versus what we believe. And we believe a lot of the same things at the high level, but it's the smaller things that tend to get us confused. And that just looks like chaos. It doesn't look uniting. It doesn't look inviting. And I think that's, and I'm not a biblical scholar, but I think that's the biggest challenge with all the denominations, is it makes coming to faith more confusing than it should be. As an analogy, we can all be college basketball fans. It's March Madness time. We can all be college basketball fans. And at the same time, we're all, fired up and love March Madness and college basketball fans. We can argue about certain rules should be changed, or we can think that we can think that, you know, athletes should or shouldn't get paid, you know, or by the school or by advertisers or whatever. We can talk about the various leagues and the way they do their championships and whether team deserves to be in there or not. And we can have all that discussion while we're still loving college basketball. And the reason we have those discussions is we want it to be as good as it can be. We want it to be just great, right? We want to keep improving it, making it better. So in that way, we can be divided but united. I think, you know, it's not a perfect analogy, but in some ways, maybe that's the way denominational Christianity is set up. The problem is, though, again, I think it sends a signal out that really isn't intended to the rest of the world that we're divided, not united. And so I think that's really the struggle with it. And again, I'm not solving the problem here. I'm just pointing things out. And so having studied Paul's words here, again, we're just scratching the surface on this topic. You could read on this topic for weeks, months. I mean, there are people just built their career on topics like this. So what I would say is that that in the end, this really highlights the importance that our own personal faith is developing, is flourishing, because if we love others well, love covers a multitude of sins. We know that from Scripture. So it's incumbent upon us as believers to exude that example that Paul gives us in a couple different places in Corinthians, where he says, "Follow me, do as I do, not as I say, but as I do." We can cover up a lot of those problems, or just make them kind of not be big deals if we love others well. And I think in the end, that's kind of all we have, all that we're left with, because the denominations do exist, and we're not going to change that. So great reading this morning, and looking forward to tomorrow.